Rain looked a little lost for words before she said, "Well, I don't think you will. You both know lots about your subject. You're both super smart." She grinned and gestured to herself. "Like, if I tried to sit in one of these interviews, I'd probably just have to walk out. Or, like, bribe them into letting me in." I chuckled. Even Daniel smiled a little bit. We ate our lunch and then I set off for the college I'd applied to. I'd chosen it because it was one of the famous ones, one of the supposedly more academic ones. Rain gave me a massive hug before I went. Daniel sort of nodded at me, but even that was comforting in its own way. I messaged Mum that I was going in, and she messaged back saying she believed in me. I just wished I believed in me, to be honest. It was just because I was nervous. I felt weird because I was nervous. That's all it was. My original plan, way back months ago, had been to listen to a University episode to calm me down before I went inside the college. I didn't want to do that anymore. I got shown into the college by a student. He had a very wide smile, a very posh voice, and was wearing a blazer voluntarily. As I'd expected, half an hour before my interview, I was given a small piece of paper with a poem on one side and a short extract from a novel on the other. I read them, sitting on a sofa in the college library. They made very little sense, but I tried to look for the metaphors. The book extract was about a cave. I can't even remember what the poem was about. And then, my half an hour was up, and my palms were sweating and my heart was beating. My life had built up to this. My future would be built by this. I just needed to sound intelligent, enthusiastic, original, open-minded. The ideal Cambridge student. Wait, what was that again? I'd watched all of the example interviews on the Cambridge website. Did I need to shake the interviewer's hands? I couldn't remember. The girl who'd gone in before me was wearing a suit. Was everyone wearing a suit? Did I look unintelligent? Was my phone on silent? What if I messed this up? Would that be the end? What if I messed up now? After all the late nights? After reading all these books and poems for an entire year? What if I'd wasted all that time? What if all this had been for nothing? Old white men. The two interviewers were both old white men. I'm sure that not all of the interviewers at the University of Cambridge are old white men. And in my second interview later that day, one of them was a woman. But in my first interview, mine were old white men. And I was not surprised. They didn't offer to shake my hand, so I didn't offer either. My interview went a little bit like this. Old white man number one. "So, Francis, I see that you picked art A-level alongside English, history and politics. And you did maths at AS-level. Why such a diverse group of subjects?" Francis. "Oh, well, you know, I've always been interested in a wide range of subjects. I just thought, at A-level, you know, it'd be good to sort of keep that going, you know? Using both sides of the brain, having a wider, broader learning experience. I enjoy lots of different subjects, so, yeah." OWM number one. Blinks and nods. OWM number two. "And you say in your personal statement that the book that really started your interest in the study of English literature was..." Glances at paper. The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. Francis. Yes. OWM number 2. What was it precisely about the book that so inspired you? Francis, completely unprepared for a question like this. Yeah. Well, I think it was the themes, really. I really related to the themes of, you know, disillusionment and alienation. You know, the typical teenage thing you go through. But yeah, there were lots of things in the book that really interested me from, like, an academic point of view. Like, one of the things I liked was the way Salinger sort of got the lingo of 1940s and 50s teenagers. It was the first time I'd read an old book. Well, like, a classic book, anyway, that, you know, really felt like it had a real voice. I really felt connected to the main character, I guess. And it made me want to understand why. OWM number 2. Nods and smiles, but doesn't really seem to have heard anything I've just said. OWM number 1. So, Francis, I suppose the big question is, why do you want to study English literature? Francis. Horrific pause. Well, another horrific pause. Why couldn't I think of anything to say? Well, I've always loved English literature. A third horrific pause. Come on, there are more reasons than that. It's fine. Take your time. English literature has always been my favourite subject. That's not true, is it? I've been passionate about studying it at university since I was little. What absolute bullshit. You're going to have to sound less like a robot if you want them to believe you. I love analysing texts and learning about their contexts. I don't understand why you're being like this. You sound like you're lying. I think doing an English literature degree would encourage me to read a lot more than I do. Wait, so you're saying you don't read lots already? Why are you applying to study English literature in the first place? I think, why are you applying to study English literature at university? I think I've always... Always what? Always been lying to yourself about this? Always believed that you were passionate about something you weren't? OWM number 2. Okay, well, let's move on. The Only Special Thing. Immediately after this, I had to take an exam where I had to compare two pieces of prose. I can't remember what they were about, and I can't remember what I wrote. I was in a room with around 20 other people, and we all had to sit around the same large table. I was very fidgety, and by the end, everyone else seemed to have written a lot more than me. I then had my second interview, which went essentially the same as the first. When I got back to Starbucks, Rain was reading a newspaper. She looked up as I sat down and folded the newspaper. It struck me what a brilliant friend she was. She had no reason to drive us here. She'd probably been sitting here for 3 hours. Mate, how did it all go? It had been awful. I'd realised that I didn't want to study the subject I was applying for midway through an interview at the university I'd been aiming to go to for at least 10 years. I'd lost my words and forgotten how to bullshit, and I'd ruined all of my chances of getting in. I don't know. I think I did my best. Rain looked at me for a moment. Well, that's good. That's all you can do. Yeah, exactly. But I hadn't done my best, had I? I'd done my absolute worst. How had I not seen this coming? How had I let myself get this far into things? It must be useful to be smart, she said, and then laughed weakly. She glanced down and suddenly looked very sad. I'm like constantly scared I'm going to be homeless or something. I wish our whole lives didn't have to depend on our grades. Useful, I thought, was a pretty good word for it. Rain and I wandered around Cambridge for a bit, while Daniel was at his second interview. Rain had already explored quite a bit of it, so she took me to all the bits she thought were worth seeing, which included an old bridge going over the river and a cafe that sold milkshakes. By 6:30, we were back at Starbucks, and Daniel's interview was over. And I told Rain I was going to go and try to find him, so he didn't have to walk back alone in the dark. Rain argued that this would involve me walking to his college in the dark. I suggested she come with me, but she just made a whining noise and said she didn't want to move because we'd managed to bagsy the sofa in the corner of the room. So I went to meet Daniel by myself, still with 1/2 cup of eggnog latte in my hand. I didn't really want to sit in Starbucks anymore anyway. King's College, the college where Daniel had applied, looked like a palace, even from where I was staring at it in the dark. It was giant, white and gothic, and nothing like the cottage-like college I'd applied to. It really was exactly where Daniel belonged. He was sitting alone on a low brick wall outside, his face illuminated by his phone and his body wrapped up in a thick puffer jacket. You could still see his suit and tie underneath, and he honestly looked like he belonged here. I really could imagine him at age 21 walking to a cathedral for his graduation in a fancy gown, or laughing with a lanky guy named Tim as they walked to the debating society where Stephen Fry was giving a speech on NHS privatisation. He looked up as I approached. I gave him an awkward closed-mouth smile, which is a classic Francis thing to do. Hey, I said, sitting down next to him. He tried to smile at me, but wasn't quite successful. You okay? I couldn't tell entirely whether he'd been crying. I felt like it was a strong possibility. Yeah, he said, breathing out. But he wasn't. He leaned forward suddenly, his elbows on his legs and his head in his hands. Anyone could see he wasn't okay. I just really need to get in, he said. It's the only thing. He sat up again, not quite looking at me. When I was 13, I got this award at school. I got the highest CAT test scores out of anyone who'd ever taken them at our school. One of his legs was bobbing up and down. He shook his head and laughed. And I thought I was so smart. I thought I was the smartest person in the whole world. He shook his head. But now, I'm just... When you get to this age, you realise that you're not anyone special after all. He was right. I wasn't special. It's all I've got, he said. This is the only special thing about me. He cared about his subject. I knew that much. I didn't care about mine. He glanced at me. He looked tired, and his hair was messy, and his knee was bobbing up and down. Why are you here? Thought you might need some moral support, I said, then felt like that was a dickish thing to say. So I followed up with, Also, it's dangerous for a young man to be walking around in the dark by himself. Daniel snorted. We sat in silence for a moment, staring at the dark street and the empty shops opposite us. Do you want some eggnog latte? I held out my cup to him. It tastes a bit like dirt. He looked at it as if suspicious, but then took it and sipped. Thanks. No problem. What should we do now? Go home, I guess. I'm literally freezing. Sounds good. There was another silence. Was your interview really that bad? I asked. Daniel chuckled. I hadn't seen him do that sober before. Do we have to talk about it? Oh, no, sorry. He took in a breath. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't perfect. He shook his head. It should have been perfect. I think you're being too hard on yourself. No, I'm being realistic. He ran a hand through his hair. Cambridge are only going to take the best, so I have to be the best. Did Alid tell you good luck at least? He laughed. Alid? Wow. You just say whatever you want, don't you? Only to you. I shook my head. Sorry, that sounded creepy. Well, no, he didn't. I told you we weren't talking, right? Yeah. You two still not talking either? No. Oh, I thought you might have made up by now. He sounded almost bitter. I think he'd make up with you before me, I began, but he laughed, interrupting me. Do you really? He said, shaking his head. Wow, you are stupider than I thought. I fidgeted nervously. What do you mean? He turned to me and stared in disbelief. You're better than me in every possible way, Francis. You really think he cares more about me than he does about you? What? I stammered. You're his boyfriend and best friend. No, I'm not, he said. I'm just someone he kisses sometimes. Childish kisses. It started to spit rain, and the streets looked much less posh in the dark. Daniel was holding the empty Starbucks cup and tapping it against his knee. He laughed and glanced at me again, like he couldn't be bothered to be mean to me anymore. Am I going to do the reveal my entire life story thing now? Not if you don't want to. But you want to know, don't you? You want to know about us. I did. Kind of, I said. Daniel sipped the latte. And I want to understand Alid better, I said. He raised his eyebrows. Why's that? I shrugged. I don't really understand any of the things that he does. Or the decisions he makes. It's sort of interesting. I crossed my legs. And I do care about him, still, even though I wish I didn't. He nods. That's understandable. You were friends. When did you become friends? When we were born. Our mums used to work together and then they got pregnant only a couple of months apart. And you've been best friends since then? Yeah. We went to the same primary school, then both went to the boys' grammar school. Obviously until I moved to the academy for sixth form. We'd hung out every day. I used to live in your village, did you know that? Until I was 11. I shook my head. Yeah, we'd hang out every day. Play football in the fields or make secret bases or ride our bikes or play video games. Just best friend stuff. We were best friends. He didn't say anything after that. But he did take a large gulp of latte. And so I didn't quite know how I was going to broach the topic. When did you start, going out? If you don't mind me asking. Daniel was silent for a moment. There wasn't really a beginning to that, he said. It wasn't... I don't even know whether we were going out. I almost asked him what he meant, but then I thought I should just let him explain it in his own time. He seemed nervous and was stumbling over his words. His eyes were cast downwards at the pavement. He knew I was gay for ages, he said, his voice soft. We both did. Since we were, like, 10 or 11, maybe. As soon as we understood what gay was, we knew that's what I was. We... He ran a hand through his hair. We used to kiss sometimes. When we were kids. When we were alone. Just little childish kisses. Little pecks on the lips because we thought it was fun. We were always really affectionate with each other. We cuddled and we were kind to each other, rather than nasty like most children. I think we were so caught up in each other that we just missed all the heteronormative propaganda that's thrust at you when you're that age. It sounded like the sweetest thing in the world. But Daniel's voice shook, like he was talking about a dead person. We didn't really realise it was weird until... Yeah, until we were 10 or 11. But that didn't really stop us. I guess I always felt like it was more romantic than Alid did. Alid always just treated it like it was something that friends did rather than boyfriends. Alid, he's always been weird. He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't even, like, register the social norms. He's just caught up in his own little world. A pair of students walked past us, laughing. And Daniel paused until they were gone. And I guess, you know, when we were teenagers, it all got a bit more serious. It wasn't just pecks on the lips anymore, you know? He chuckled awkwardly. When we were around 14, I think, I made the first proper move. We were just playing a video game in his room and I just asked him if I could kiss him properly. He was a bit surprised, but he was like, yeah, okay. So I did. I was holding my breath. And Daniel laughed at the look on my face. Why am I even telling you all this? Jesus. Yeah. So, we sort of went from there. Kissing more. And doing other stuff as well. I always asked him, you know? He's never been very clear about what he wants. He's so quiet and... And he's a massive pushover as well. So whatever we did, I always asked him first. I always said he could say no if he didn't want to do something. But he always said yes. Daniel paused then. Like he was living it. Like he was reliving all of it. This was a life I could barely imagine. I could barely imagine sharing so much of yourself with someone else for so long. It was really just something for us. We didn't want to be in a relationship or be coupley around other people we knew. It was all just for us in private. Like, we had to protect it because we didn't want the rest of the world to ruin it. I don't really know why. I guess it didn't feel like we were in a relationship at all, because we were best friends, first and foremost. So we never knew how we'd explain it to people. Daniel took a breath. We were so important to each other. We'd tell each other everything and anything. We were each other's first everything. First and only everything. He's an angel. I didn't think I'd ever heard anyone speak about someone else like this before. But the thing was, Alid, he didn't want to come out because he doesn't think he's gay. Like, he says he doesn't really feel attracted to anyone except me. There are lots of other things he could be, I said quickly. Well, whatever he is, he doesn't know, said Daniel. And I didn't really want to come out at an all-boys school. That's just asking for abuse. I mean, there were people who'd done it. There was this guy in the year above I really admired. One of Alid's friends. But I was too scared of what people would say. I thought I'd wait until I got to the academy for sixth form and come out there. But then I never really made any close friends and the topic never really came up with anyone I spoke to. He shook his head and took another long sip of latte. But the past year or so, since Karis left, he's changed. I've changed as well. We hang out less. I feel like when we do, he's just coming to me to escape from his problems. It's not like he really wants to see me at all. You know about his mum, yeah? Yeah. Well, before you two were friends, he used to come to my house a lot so he didn't have to be around her. And then you arrived and he didn't really need me anymore, I guess. But you've been friends since you were born. You've been together for years. But if he cared, he'd talk to me more. He took a breath, like this was the first time he was admitting it to himself. I don't even think he likes me that much, in that way. I only think he does that because he's used to it, because he's comfortable around me and because he feels sorry for me. I don't think he's really into it or anything. He paused, and I noticed his eyes were tearing up. He shook his head again and wiped one of them. It's usually me who initiates it. Then why? My voice was near a whisper, even though we were the only people on the street. Why don't you just end it? If neither of you are that into each other anymore. I never said I wasn't into him. I care about him so badly. A tear dripped down Daniel's cheek, and he huffed out a laugh. Sorry, this is lame. It's not lame. I raised my arms and pulled him into a hug. We stayed like that for a moment before I let him go again. I tried to talk to him about it on his birthday, he continued, but he wasn't having any of it. He just kept trying to reassure me that he likes me, and that just made me angry, because I could tell he was lying. He even lied in that Never Have I Ever game, pretending he'd never lied when he said, I love you, to me. I can tell when he lies to me. Why would he avoid me so much if he fucking loved me? He doesn't even want to admit what his sexuality is. Not even to me. He wiped an eye again. And that night, he kept saying that he wanted to, you know, get with me. But I didn't think he was telling the truth, so I said no. And then he got angry as well. Daniel shook his head. He's just used to me, and he doesn't want to upset me because he knows. He knows I'm in love with him. He doesn't like me in that way anymore. How do you know that for sure? He glanced at me. You're pathetically optimistic. No, I mean, I bit my lip. But what if... I know he finds it hard to say what he's really thinking. And like, I know I find it hard to tell what he's thinking. But what if he does... love you? How can you know for sure if he hasn't said he doesn't? Daniel laughed. It sounded like he'd given up entirely. Everyone wants the gay couple to get the happy ending, don't they? He said. I felt so sad that I wanted to leave. My worst nightmare is making him do something he doesn't want to do. Without knowing. More tears fell from his eyes. And I guess people change and we have to move on, but... He leaned forward and put his head in his hands. He could have at least broken up with me officially, instead of just leaving me like this. His voice was shaking badly through his tears, and I felt so sorry for him that I almost thought I was going to cry too. It's okay if he doesn't like me in that way anymore. It's okay. But I just want my best friend back. I just want to understand what he's actually feeling. I don't know why he avoids me. Every time I decide he just doesn't like me anymore, I start to doubt myself because he hasn't told me anything. I just want him to tell me the truth. When he lies to me because he thinks it'll make me feel better, it hurts. He let out a sob and I hugged him again. And I wished there was something I could do for him. Anything. Sometimes I think he only cares about his YouTube channel. It's all him, his universe, city. It's just his soul in audio form. Radio and February Friday and being trapped in a grey world. It's just his life. A dumb science fiction analogy. At the mention of February Friday, I felt my heart lurch a little. I wondered whether he even knew that it was him. He's my only real friend, he said. And he just left me here. I just miss him. Not even getting with him, just being with him. Him sleeping by my house, playing video games. I just want to hear his voice. I want him to tell me the truth. I held him for a few minutes as he cried. And it struck me how we were both in the exact same situation, though it was 100 times worse for Daniel. I wanted Alid to come back too. Why wasn't he answering our messages? Did he really dislike us that much? It had been me, hadn't it? I'd betrayed his trust. I'd driven him away. And he wasn't coming back. We didn't know whether we'd ever hear his voice in the real world again. Once Daniel had calmed down a bit and sat up properly again, he said, "You know what? The first time I kissed him properly, he flinched." Extremely tired. On the drive home, Daniel and I didn't really say anything to each other, though there was the vague sense that we were friends now. After around half an hour of silence, Rain said, "Guys, like, if you don't get in, I mean, it's not a disaster, is it?" We both felt that it would be a disaster, but I very quickly said, "No, it's fine." I think Rain could tell I was lying. She didn't try to talk to us for the rest of the journey. Back home, I reenacted, with maybe a little exaggeration, the exact expressions the interviewers had made as I rambled through my interviews. Mum laughed and called them all a variety of names. Then we ordered pizza and watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I was pretty relieved it was over, to be honest. I'd been stressed about it for almost a year. Even if, maybe, I didn't actually want to do English literature anymore, it didn't matter. The decision had been made. What was going to happen was going to happen. I decided to give myself a night off homework. I collapsed into bed at around 12 and tucked myself in with my laptop on my lap. I thought about doing some drawing. I hadn't done any for weeks now. But for some reason, I didn't really want to. I couldn't think of anything to draw. I scrolled through Tumblr for a while before the feeling that I should really stop wasting my time crept in, and I closed the tab to stop myself continually refreshing the page. I considered trying to catch up on some of the recent Universe City episodes. How many episodes had I missed now? 4? 5? I hadn't ever missed so many in a row before. That was pretty weird, wasn't it? For someone who prides herself as one of the top fans in the fandom, for someone who knows the creator so well. I didn't even check Alid's Twitter anymore. I didn't check the Universe City Tumblr tag. I'd turned off my ask box on Tumblr ages ago, so people stopped asking me questions about Alid and the creator. I wasn't on the show anymore, and I wasn't making art for the show. I wasn't even connected to the show anymore. I hadn't posted any drawings on my blog for over a month. I suddenly felt extremely tired. I turned off my laptop. There wasn't really anything interesting I could do on it, and turned off my fairy lights. I put some earphones in, downloaded the latest episode of Universe City onto my iPod, and started to listen. Universe City Podcast, Episode 142, Yes, posted by Universe City.
Hi. I don't know. I'm getting a bit tired. 10-second pause. So, I was walking yesterday evening down Brockenborn Street, and I saw this phosphorescent, you know, it doesn't matter. I was thinking, actually, I mean, I had a thought. I was thinking, what if we were to end this? No, sorry, that's not... Oh. I do wish February Friday was here. I haven't seen them in years upon years.
Hours and hours. It was abysmal. It was a terrible episode. Radio barely spoke any full sentences. There was no discernible plot, no characters appeared. It was just radio rambling on for 20 minutes about things nobody but Alid could possibly understand. And that February Friday mention at the end. What was that? Hadn't seen them for years. Wasn't February Friday Daniel? Alid had seen Daniel only a few months ago. Was he just exaggerating? Surely he was just exaggerating. Daniel had said that Alid was writing about his life in Universe City, which sounded ridiculous at the time, but after hearing this... I mean, February Friday was a real person. Alid had essentially confirmed that. Maybe the rest of it was real too. I sat up. I wasn't tired. February Friday was Daniel. Or... I don't know. If Alid had been literal in saying they hadn't seen each other for years, I decided to re-listen to the episode to see if there were any more clues in there. But all that ended up doing was reminding me of how tired Alid's voice sounded, how much he stumbled over his words and didn't seem to know where he was going. He hadn't bothered to pitch change his voice. It was just him, here, putting on that silly old-time radio accent. Even that slipped a few times. This wasn't like him. If there was one thing Alid cared about, one thing he never allowed to be half-hearted, it was Universe City. Something was wrong. I tried to sleep, but it took me hours and hours.